welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 24th. I'm your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely and talented, and I don't know what this week, Melissa Hansen.
Oh, I never know what I am. How are you supposed to know? From minute to minute.
Yeah, well, hey, that's Eastern philosophy says that's the way to live life.
Oh, well, good to know. I thought it was just crazy.
Nope. Live in the moment.
Instead, I am, like, easternly smart.
There you go.
Brilliant.
Ahead of the game. How was your week in entertainment?
I actually watched a movie I wouldn't have watched if it weren't for your recommendation.
Oh, what's that?
The Croods.
Oh, what did you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's a great little movie.
I have liked Nick Cage movies, despite Nick Cage.
Okay.
Like Leaving Las Vegas. Like, I liked that movie, even though he was in it.
Yeah.
I've never liked Nick Cage in a movie.
Yeah.
Except for this one.
Yeah.
No, it's just his voice.
Right.
But he was excellent in it.
Yeah. They all were.
Surprising.
Yeah.
I would never have known it was him if I didn't know beforehand.
Yeah.
It was really... So, yeah. So, it's an animated movie. It's a DreamWorks movie that came out, last year?
Yep.
And it's about caveman family.
Yep.
And... it's like volcano and earthquake and whatever's happening. So their home is destroyed. So their cave that they barely ever leave, they run out, like hunt something and run back in.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Except they have like a teenage daughter who wants to go explore the world.
Yes.
And dad will not let her.
Right.
So she meets this young guy out there when she sneaks out.
Yeah.
Who's out there exploring the world kind of thing. So anyhow, their cave collapse, they have to go find somewhere new to live.
Yeah.
And so they follow this young adventurous guy, like to the mountain.
Yep.
Kind of thing. And it's, so there's crazy stuff happening. And so the writers, I swear to God, they took a hat. They wrote down names of all kinds of animals, just regular fish, turtle, bird. They threw them in a hat and then they pulled out two pieces of paper and like made a turtle bird and like gave it to the artist to come up with something. Yeah. So it's filled with these crazy animals and vegetation and stuff. And so it's fun adventure hiking through that. But then it's also like this serious family drama and daughter father relationships and the whole growing up and leaving home and all that. And yeah, the voice cast, Nick Cage, Emma Stone plays the daughter. Ryan Reynolds is the guy.
Yep.
Catherine Keener.
That's right.
Is the mom. And then Cloris Leachman.
Yep.
Is like the grandma in it. The smartest grandma. It's excellent.
Yep. She's got a stupid brother and.
Yeah. So it's a very funny movie.
Yep.
And it's a very sweet movie. And it's one, I think you can, I'm trying to think if there's anything you really wouldn't want your kids to see.
I don't think so.
I think it's PG.
Yeah.
Because there's maybe a little scariness too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really sweet and funny. And it's totally something you can watch with your kids and you can enjoy instead of sitting there rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
But seriously, I spent the whole movie going, oh, I want a pink little Nemer belt.
Da, da, da.
You have to have like the humanized animal in it too.
Yes.
Like the pet.
Right.
But that like can kind of talk or at least, you know, kind of knows what's going on and helps out with the jokes. And so it's like it's like lemur.
Yep.
Right. And it's adorable. And I want one so bad now.
And DreamWorks did a great job because the visuals on this movie are just stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, the colors, the color palette, some of the animation techniques that they used when they went and hunted for breakfast to get the egg, the chase.
Yeah.
Where the camera moves in all 360 degrees. It's
Yeah, it's really, yeah. It's a really good, not just a good animated movie, it's a good movie.
Yes, it is.
So I like it. So if you haven't watched it, you know, if you're maybe slightly older, you know, I wouldn't do preschoolish, but elementary kids, if you haven't watched it with them, this should be like, you know, family movie night for you guys.
And it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. That's where I watched it.
Yep.
So.
Nice. Well, I ventured in to Save Mr. Banks.
Okay.
Which, for a movie, taken as a movie, as a fictional movie, take out the historical characters and everything, it's a great, the storytelling in it is phenomenal. How it weaves the past into the present and takes cues from Mary Poppins from the movie. And I did not read the books. I did not read the Travers books.
Okay.
But I've been a fan of Mary Poppins since I was very young, and go back to it all the time to watch it. So it takes elements of the movie that are part of Mrs. Travers' real life in this context, and does a phenomenal job. Emma Thompson is brilliant, as always. Paul Giamatti has a beautiful role in this film as the limo driver that's hired to drive her around.
He can be beautiful.
Oh, it's
you can think of him as crazy or like just asshole kind of character. He can be beautiful on screen.
This is small, intimate. Everything he does is subtle with very little dialogue, and it is so emotionally heartfelt. The connection that he makes with this woman who is completely closed off to the entire world. He is the one that breaks through with very little effort whatsoever, just being who he is. Tom Hanks plays Walt Disney. As someone who is a Disney kind of pseudo-historian, not, you know, to say I'm a scholar or anything, but I've seen so much.
Yeah. You know a lot about the man.
Yes. So if you've never seen Walt's show or if you've never seen him interviewed and stuff like that, you won't have a problem with Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney. Personally, it doesn't work for me, but as a character, as this character named Walt, as opposed to being Walt, he does it. I mean, it's Tom Hanks. My God, he doesn't do anything half-assed.
Right.
BJ Novak and Jason Schwartzman play the Sherman Brothers.
That's who I want to see in it, to be honest, the two of them.
Yeah, they play very well off of each other. But having interviewed Richard and Robert Sherman, again, I'm too close to the original story that I can't make that differentiation. So,
right, even though they were much older, obviously, when you met them.
Yes, yes. And Robert has since passed away.
You actually know them slightly, so it
yes, I've been around them, yes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. It's deserving of all the credit that the critics gave it in award season, even though it didn't make it to that final tier in the Oscars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was reviewed very well, and it's very much worth your time seeing because it is a beautiful, heartfelt story. In terms of whether it's historically accurate, as most biopics are not.
That's a good point.
Yes. Things were shaped and twisted and, you know, created to tell a better story because, you know, that's what writers
do. It's the movie.
Yep.
Which this is one that's kind of upset me that they sugarcoated stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this one has, because in general, I'm one of the first ones to say, you know what? This is not a documentary.
Yes, correct.
This is a, you know, a drama movie.
Yeah, it's a biopic.
This isn't a nonfiction book.
Yes.
This is a flick.
Yeah. And there's plenty of information out there if you want to know the real story and how it all played out.
And I would suggest doing that.
Yeah.
I think that would make me happy if y'all did that. Yeah. You watch it, you enjoy it, and then you just do a really quick little thing on the original story and see some of the background and some of the maybe not so nice things that Disney, the company, and the man did.
Yep. And let's face it, Mrs. Travers was not an angel in any of this. So.
No.
But, I mean, that's how we create story. I mean, we go back to Mark Twain and all these people who were amazing storytellers. We twist things to make them more entertaining.
Yeah.
So, and the real surprise here is Colin Farrell, who plays the father of Mrs. Travers.
You were telling me that. That's kind of shocking that he could, play that kind of character. And good for him.
Yeah. So, it's out on DVD and Blu-ray now, so you can see that. Box office this week. I am surprised. I am not surprised that the young adult adventure franchises will continue in perpetuity, but I am surprised that Muppets did not do as well as everyone.
When I get to the fourth fact here.
Okay.
So Divergence number one.
Yes.
Not surprising.
Yes.
56 million.
Yep.
Not surprising.
Yep.
Muppets Most Wanted number two. Yep. Not surprising. Mm-hmm. 17 million?
It's very disheartening.
What?
Yeah.
That, first of all, just that doesn't matter what number two is, that drop off is crazy. But also, the Muppets only made 17?
Yeah.
Yikes stripes.
And I'm wondering if this is not over promotion backlash.
It could be. And, okay, well, then we also have number three with 12 million, Mr. Peabody. Do we have too much kitty stuff out right now?
Maybe. It could be, but my nieces and nephew, my sister-in-law, took the kids to go see Frozen again in the theater over the weekend.
Yes.
Even though it's available on DVD, they still went back to the theater.
And then, you know, Lego's still out there, and there just might be too much.
Could be.
I don't know. But then we have number four, 300, 8.7 million.
Yep.
And then number five, God is Dead, 8.6 million.
God is not dead.
God is not dead. See, was that a Freudian slip or not? But you know why? Because it's God's not dead, and in the poster, the not's like a real small like addition.
Right. Well, and the story is it's about a kid whose college professor does not believe in the existence of God. And right. This is a Christian family movie, which was not on our radar at all last week.
Right. And I think any other week, this would definitely not be.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit.
It just, it also just wouldn't. I mean, just 8.6 million isn't even enough to get you.
Right. That's true.
Up there. So.
Yep. This coming week, the action adventure reigns supreme. Russell Crowe and Jennifer Connelly save the world at God and Darren Aronofsky's command in Noah. I really have no interest in seeing this movie.
I don't know. I had none.
Yeah.
And then I saw like trailer for it and like, ooh. Mm.
Anthony Hopkins is playing Methuselah.
Yeah, it looks more like 300.
It does.
You know, Jesus Christ Superstar or something.
Right. Or Schoolhouse Rocks.
It definitely looks much more like just an action movie.
Yeah.
There's like this horde attacking the Ark and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks more like an action movie.
And I think that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
And that's what it is. And that's why I think you're going to have people on both sides. Like,
what the hell is this?
Yeah. Depending how religious you are or not religious, I think kind of the ends of that both are going to be unhappy.
So celebrate your Easter with Noah. Next up, The Raid 2, which is the follow-up to the hugely successful Indonesian action picture, The Raid Redemption.
Hugely successful Indonesian action
picture. It's crazy how much money this movie made.
Let me get that straight there. Wow.
And Dave Johnson and Eric and Patrick Bromley, all these people who absolutely love the original. And I think it's critically doing very well, as was The Muppets. The Muppets was certified fresh by Rotten Tomatoes. So it's not like, you know, these movies are being panned that aren't making money. But like you said, maybe it's just too much in one place. Mm-hmm. Third this week is Sabotage. Arnold Schwarzenegger is back full force.
Okay, now I have the Beastie Boys running through my head.
Sorry.
Okay.
Leading an elite DEA strike force against the drug cartel, and members of his team include Sam Worthington from Avatar, Joe Manganiola, I forget how to pronounce his name, from Magic Mike.
I can't say it. The built guy from Magic Mike, which is saying something, that he's built one.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. Josh Holloway from Lost, and Terrence Howard, who I can't stand.
one of these does not quite fit in that list.
And then for something completely different, we have Bad Words, which is Jason Bateman directing himself in a comedy about a child spelling bee loser who grows up to exact his revenge, and Catherine Hahn and Allison Janney.
That should be a fun one.
Yeah. Well, it's Jason. I mean, we love that guy since Silver Spoons, so.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
And the spinoff. He had the spinoff of Silver Spoons. Remember that?
No.
Like, It's Your Move?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, Jason Bateman had the spinoff show from Silver Spoons.
I don't remember that. But then he went on to do The Hogan Family.
And then nothing, and then...
But it was actually Valerie's Family, and then it became The Hogan Family.
Right.
When Valerie Harper left the show.
And then Sandy Duncan. Oh my gosh, it was just scandalous. Changing the name and everything. Okay.
DVD and Blu-ray this week. We've got Martin Scorsese's Wolf of Wall Street, Odd Thomas, which is another one of those kind of Joss Whedon-esque type movies where it's the normal little fry cook at the local diner who also, in his free time, battles demons and saves the world.
Of course he does.
Anton Yelchin from Star Trek Stars.
Yeah.
Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn, which is a remake of a French comedy about a guy who donated a lot of his sperm to a sperm bank and then found out that he fathered some huge amount of children. Mystery Science Theater Volume 29, which Eric has already reviewed for us and is up on the site. Again, this is a classic television series. You cannot go wrong with any of these. And Shout Factory does fantastic in terms of packaging these episodes. And then we've got Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery. And this is where the franchise jumps the shark for me, because it goes back to the old... The Scooby-Doo movies, which was back in the early 70s, where they brought in, like, real people like Sonny and Cher and
stuff. Harlem Globetrotters.
Harlem Globetrotters, yep. So, in a way, they're honoring their past, but this kind of crap, right?
Yeah, but that's who you're going to bring in?
Okay. I know.
Okay.
I know. They're not. I am not the audience, the intended audience for this.
No.
Over at Redbox this week, American Hustle, Frozen, Daniel Radcliffe in the Jack Kerouac-style beat thriller Kill Your Darlings.
Yeah.
And then Danny Trejo. I think every week there's a Danny Trejo movie out. This one
here. He's like in Muppets.
Yeah, you're right. He is. Yep.
He is.
He's an avenging angel in 20 Feet Below.
Okay.
Over at Netflix, we've got Matthew McConaughey in the critically acclaimed indie film Mud.
Oh, yeah.
20 Feet from Stardom, which is the documentary about the backup singers.
Yes, which one of the associate producers was from my hometown.
Uh-huh. There you go. Liam Hemsworth and Harrison Ford in the thriller Paranoia. And then Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder in See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Oh,
so you can watch Stir Crazy and those two together. I don't know if Silver Streak is available yet on Netflix, but those are the three big Wilder and Pryor movies. And then over at Hulu, Muppets All-Star Comedy Gala, which I guess in 2012 on Christmas Eve, they did this special for ABC where Kermit and the gang hosted a stand-up comedy special.
This was like, aired on Canadian TV.
Oh, was it Canadian TV?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anyways, again,
get them with Lady Gaga.
I love the Muppets, but it just feels like Disney is kind of forcing them into everything right now.
It is. Like I told you, like their special this year, like holiday special thing was like Lady Gaga, yeah, and it was stuff off her new album. I was like, who wants to see that?
And like I said last week, they hosted an entire day on QVC and it's too much. It's too much. And then there's not much else on Hulu this week. There's a handful of gay films. There's a handful of Asian films and a bunch of anime series, none of which are really worth talking anymore about.
Okay.
That's all I've got for streaming and physical media this week.
Okay, well, on TV this week, we've got some premieres and some finales. Monday, The Fosters season finale on ABC Family, along with the Teen Wolf season finale on MTV. And then Bizarre Foods America is back on the Travel Channel.
Okay.
Tuesday, we have a finale I'm really upset about.
What?
I can't believe it's already over. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that show at all.
It's really good. It's one of my favorite shows on right now. I think it's really excellent.
Nice.
It's an amazing ensemble cast.
And that's Andy Samberg.
Yeah. And Mary Lou Henner just joined it, actually.
Oh, wow. Good.
So, anyhow, premiere on Tuesday night on Sci-Fi. Now, usually when I see Sci-Fi, my eyes glaze over, but yeah. Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge.
Yeah, this should be interesting. Brian Henson is actually hosting the show.
It is. And so it's a competition, challenge show, yeah, obviously, but where you have people in doing masks and creature stuff.
Yeah.
So that could be more interesting for non-typical sci-fi viewers.
True.
Wednesday, there's a special on NBC,
yeah,
Prince Harry's South Pole Heroes. If you've heard this, so Prince Harry, Alexander Skarsgård, Dominic West, and a bunch of like veterans are on an expedition to the South Pole and they're filming it.
Oh.
So that could be interesting. And then let's see. So Wednesday, Hot in Cleveland season premiere on TV Land.
Uh-huh.
And another one I'm going to cry over finale.
What?
Psych on USA. Cause it's,
oh, that's
it's
right,
the series finale.
Yep. It did 8 years, right? 9 years.
Yeah, I don't know if I should thank them for this past season being kind of crappy.
Was it crappy?
I don't. Well, I've only seen a few episodes because I'm watching them on Hulu, and you can't watch them for like a month after they air,
yeah,
or whatever.
Crazy.
So I won't be watching this one for a while. But it has not been the best season.
Okay,
I'm sorry to say it's been very uneven. And it's weird because Maggie's off filming her other show, maybe, so she's watching they. They had Anthony Michael Hall on, which he wasn't bad.
Okay.
But then, like, Kristen was off, and I don't know. It's been very uneven this season. So it seems like maybe it's a good time for it.
Like any show, it has a life cycle. It's going to peak at a certain point, and then you're going to get diminishing returns. And it's a great cast. I mean, those people, I've had a chance to spend time with them, and they are all fantastic, and they love that show. And Steve Franks, who you and I got to, you know, listen to a Q&A with him. It's been a fantastic experience for everybody involved. So
yeah, including us viewers.
Yes, so absolutely.
We'll be saying bye to that this week. Thursday, Fox has a new show called Surviving Jack. It's about whatever middle-aged dad who his wife goes back to school, so he becomes like full-time parent to their teenagers. Yeah. But it's Chris Maloney.
Oh,
SUV.
Nice.
Starring in that one. So SVU. Sitcom for him after all that years of insane drama.
Yeah.
Friday, finale of Piers Morgan Live on CNN.
Thank God. That guy drives me up a wall.
All right. Saturday night, Kids' Choice Awards on Nick. Sunday, Call the Midwife is back on PBS, but The Walking Dead is over for the season on AMC.
You know, it's funny, and you watch Facebook on any given day.
Oh my God, the flowers. Why, look at the flowers line.
Jeez, it's a love it or hate it show.
That was like my whole Facebook that one evening. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
All right. Music this week. Okay, how crazy is this? We have new music called Out Among the Stars from Johnny Cash.
What?
It was sessions in the 1980s.
Oh.
They were shelved by the record company.
Huh.
And his son, John Carter Cash, like a couple years ago, found them.
So he's going to become Tupac now, right?
Well, I don't. There's no holograms. It's actual music he recorded.
All right.
Just his record company didn't like it, so didn't release it.
Huh.
Shakira has a new one, self-titled. And then Barry Manilow. It's called Night Songs, and it's a bunch of classic stuff, but it's like him and piano.
Now, didn't he tell us when we saw him in a concert that he was done recording? Wasn't he just going to focus on composing and stuff like that?
He had Broadway show going then. Yeah.
Or he was done touring. Maybe that's what it was.
It could be. I don't know. But anyhow, he definitely has a new album, and it's just kind of him and a piano, chill stuff.
All right.
So, Boy George, new music.
Oh, well, good.
This is What I Do. Good for him for comeback after. Well, he had Taboo on Broadway. That was pretty big. But he had some personal stuff going on.
Lots of shit,
Hopefully he is back full steam here. Carmen has a new one called Pulses. And then soundtracks. We have, speaking of Walking Dead, we have Volume 2 of soundtrack from that show. And then we also have the Noah music from the motion picture, and it's Clint Mansell.
Oh, all right.
That's doing that soundtrack. Books this week. Man, it was a long run without saying it.
James Patterson.
Yeah, and it's Marshall Karp this time. NYPD Red number 2 is out this week. And then, this is cool, because like we weren't happy enough last weekend. Rob Thomas, not the singer.
No, Veronica Mars.
Mars writer.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Graham, his co-writer. Veronica Mars, The $1,000 Tan Line. Oh. It's a novel, and it takes place after the movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you know, are going to take a break from watching her, you can read about her. And then Rachel Zoe, celebrity stylist, reality TV star.
Yep.
Living in Style, inspiration, advice for everyday glamour. Like, Rachel Zoe knows anything about everyday anything. But, all right. new book by one of my favorite people. A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power. By Mr. Jimmy Carter.
Oh, nice.
So, I think... does anyone not agree he's the best ex-president ever?
Yeah, and it's interesting because when... there's a theory, I mean, this helps to Benjamin Franklin as well, that certain people who serve in public service then become these elder statesmen who became like the wise elders of our culture.
Yeah.
And if anybody fits that role for this most recent few generations, it's former President Carter.
Yeah, and in whatever, I'm not going to get into what type of president he was.
No, not the politics of the presidency.
But he is an amazing former president,
But
he
in terms of his humanity and the social consciousness that he brings to everything he does.
He's a leader in this world.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of politics, Arianna Huffington.
Oh.
has a new one called Thrive, the third metric to redefining success in creating a life of well-being, wisdom, and wonder. Like, that sounds boring.
It does.
I mean, you put wonder in there. That's like the only exciting thing about that title.
And I don't she kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, sometimes. She rubs a lot of people the wrong way. She used to rub me the wrong way.
Yeah.
It kind of depends where you are with that.
Yeah.
With that politics and just, fame mongering. Yeah. Okay. And then there's one for you out this week by George Will.
Oh, nice.
A Nice Little Place on the North Side.
Oh.
It is failed at 100.
He is such a baseball fan.
Yeah.
And he is one of the, you talk about Samuel Clemens and people like that. He is one of America's jewel authors, writers, storytellers, like Garrison Keillor. And
he is.
Yes.
And Funny About Wrigley Field. Now, if I have to pick a team, I'm going to pick the Cubs.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. But it's funny, my Cubs stuff, like hat and whatever, actually is Wrigley Field on it.
There you go.
I'm more of a Wrigley Field fan than even a Cubs fan.
I used to go out and sit out there for batting practice just to take in the park before anybody got there.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
It is.
All right. So you can read about Wrigley Field if you've never been there this week. All right. Theater. New Terrence McNally.
Oh.
Mothers and Sons is out. This is his, 20th Broadway show. Seriously? It's at the Golden Theater. It just opened.
Yep.
And this week, it's called Mothers and Sons, and it is starring Tyne frickin' Daly.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Terrence McNally and Tyne Daly together.
Wow.
Winner!
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, I will continue that theater with some news of my own. I am overjoyed and humbled to the fact that I've been cast. I've never done summer stock theater before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been cast in three shows, back-to-back shows this season at Hackmatack Playhouse in Southern Maine. I will be playing Patsy, the Terry Gilliam role, in Spamalot.
So freaking funny.
Oh, my God. The audition for that was bananas. And I had
it wasn't just running around being crazy kind of thing.
And trying out with different people, just playing off of different people.
Yeah, and seeing
scenes.
That chemistry.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. I will be playing the Peter Lorre role of Dr. Einstein in Arsenic and Old Lace.
Again, these are the two, kind of crazy roles in this.
Yeah.
And you are not a straight man anymore.
No, I am definitely – I have fallen into that middle-aged character actor. Groove, and I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
because your commitment is the pressure is off, and it allows you to have a hell of a lot of fun. And then they have not yet decided how we're going to play out specific things, but there's a very real chance I will be in the ensemble of Music Man, but whether I'm in the barbershop quartet yet, we have not decided. So,
nice.
Yeah. So that'll be all of June, July, and August for me. And rehearsing.
That's definitely entertainment news.
Yep. Rehearsing one while performing the other, it's going to be a whole new experience for me.
So they're in a row. It's not like one's one night and the other one's the next.
Right. We're not doing it in rep.
In July,
but it's 3 weeks, 3 weeks, and 3 weeks.
Got it.
Right back to back.
Cool.
So very cool. Entertainment news. We are not mourning the death of hate mongering preacher Fred Phelps. We're not celebrating his death, but we are not. We're just passing along that news.
One of the greatest things that I saw about it, they did a protest. Westboro did a protest at a Lord concert or something.
Okay.
They had counter protesters with a big old sign that said, "We're sorry for your loss."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
Kevin Smith had talked about wanting to have a huge group of gay folks and families go and say that, we're welcoming you into heaven kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, we reap what we sow.
Yep.
And, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
We are mourning the passing of character actor James Rebhorn.
Yeah,
at 65. He's lately been on the series Homefront and White Collar, but he's highly recognizable in films like Meet the Parents and Independence Day and Scent of a Woman. And
yeah, so he was on actually Homeland.
What did I say?
Homefront.
Oh, sorry.
So he's on Homeland, but he was also on, and what I've been watching him on the past few years is White Collar.
Yeah.
He played, like, the FBI boss.
Right.
He was, yeah.
He's always curmudgeonly, and, yeah.
Yeah. He would just, yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. Yeah, he was in so many things, and he was just lovely in them, right. So.
IMAX has signed a deal to install projectors in 63 theaters worldwide, many of which will be in China over the next few years, ultimately ensuring that Hollywood will continue to generate buku bucks overseas. And if you don't know, some of the movies that are released here make more money overseas than they do domestically. So they're very happy about that. Apple and Comcast may or may not be in talks to create a streaming media service to compete with Netflix, Hulu, Redbox, Instant, and Amazon Prime. So this gets back to the whole net neutrality thing, because Netflix has been up in arms that internet service providers like Verizon have been purposely slowing down the internet speeds for Netflix subscribers during primetime television viewing hours.
Yeah, this really came to light during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, the FCC has gotten themselves into a lot of hot water, and this issue is far from over. Ellen Page is close to signing on to the John Belushi biopic to play Judy Belushi, John's wife, opposite Emile Hirsch. I don't know how this film is possibly going to work.
I like the Emile Hirsch, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
John was such a dynamic, unique personality. I cannot see anybody portraying him.
Yeah, but I think if somebody can do it, I think, you know, who could? Like, physically, I actually see that.
Okay.
He's got to put on a lot of weight, but...
You know, if anybody, Chris Farley probably could have done it in his good years.
I don't know.
Because there's such a manic energy that it was about John.
I'm going to give it a chance.
All right, well, we'll see. We shall see. My union, SAG-AFTRA, has gotten themselves into big trouble over this new code of ethics document that they published.
Okay.
Which dictates the roles and responsibilities of personal managers in the lives of actors.
Ah.
See, now in LA, there's a philosophy. Either you have a manager or you have an agent. A manager doesn't have to be certified by anything. Agents, you know, work in agencies and they get their credentials that way. Personal managers are just people who kind of represent the actor, like their business manager, their, you know, their intermediary, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these managers out there are just furious, saying SAG has no right to tell us, you know, how to run our business and all this kind of, it's just, Paley Fest was held this last week in LA. It's an annual thing. They go to the Cinerama Dome in Hollywood, and they gather together producers and writers and actors from all these different television series, past and present, to sit down and talk about the show and answer questions from the audience. It's a wonderful experience. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did one, and the cast and the crew were there, and they have a cop to the fact that they are doing a tie-in episode to Captain America Winter Soldier, which is not unexpected.
Course,
it's
going to
air the day after the film's release.
Okay.
Other things we can expect, there's 7 episodes left in the season. We will see the return of Bill Paxton's character. We will see an appearance by Patton Oswalt.
Nice.
I know. And though the series has not been renewed for next year, Team Whedon has a clear 3-year story arc already in place.
Okay. So,
which will tie into the movie releases coming up, like Guardians of the Galaxy, like Avengers 2. So,
yeah. And then here's the thing with me about the show.
Yes.
Is I watched a few, first few episodes and didn't get into it. And I didn't mean to stop watching it. Yeah. I just was watching other stuff. And then you're like, no, it turned a corner, got so much better. I want to go back and watch it and catch up.
Yeah.
I can't.
Why?
They don't have the whole season, like on Hulu and stuff.
You're kidding.
It's not a whole season show.
Oh, shit.
Because is it CBS? No.
No, it's ABC.
No, it's ABC. But it's... Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's one of those,
so
like...
Do they only keep, most recent 8 episodes or something?
So you can't go back and... Whatever.
Well, there will be a DVD release.
We're just streaming. Just have everything out there.
I don't understand why you do that.
Like, why would you not leave? I don't know.
Right.
So
you
many.
You may be able to find it on Amazon
like
Prime.
A month later, and it's only for so many days, and on all different shows.
Amazon Prime may sell the individual episodes, but it'll be like $2 a shot.
Well, whatever. I'm not doing that. I don't want to watch it that bad.
I know. Okay, more Marvel news. Bryan Singer is already hard at work on his script for X-Men Apocalypse, which will restore both Nightcrawler and Gambit to the alternate universe timeline created by the events of the forthcoming movie Days of Future Past. And the next script, or I should say the script for the next Wolverine movie, which will once again be directed by James Mangold and set for a 2017 release, that script is now being developed as well. And one last Marvel note, I don't know how I missed this, but Doctor Who's Karen Gillan mm-hmm. and Pushing Daisies' Lee Pace are playing the villains in James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Lee Pace playing a villain, I love it.
So Pace is playing...
both of them playing villains.
Yeah, he's a foot soldier to the Kree Supreme Intelligence, Ronan the Accuser, and Gillan is this intergalactic pirate queen named Nebula, who may or may not be the granddaughter of Thanos, who we saw at the end of the first Avengers movie.
Nice.
So that's all I've got for news this week.
Okay. Well, everybody knows this is not huge news, but Kim Ye are on the cover of Vogue.
Oh yeah, there was something about this with
So they're on the cover of Vogue, and there's like, you know, inside it too, there's an article, and she's wearing all these white ball gown dresses.
Yeah.
You know. And well, Vogue is like fashion magazine, so there are like reality stars and stuff on it. So people are all up in arms about it. Whatever. I mean, I don't really care. They can do whatever they want. But the story is that he like basically Kanye like bugged Anna Wintour long enough or paid her off or whatever to put Kim on the cover. Okay, but the best part of this whole story is guess what else we get because of this?
What?
Oh, we get photoshopped James Franco and Seth Rogen as Kanye and Kim.
Crap.
So we have Seth Rogen in a wedding dress. We have Seth Rogen's head on Kim Kardashian's body. And it's so excellent.
Oh, brother.
So forget looking at the Kim Ye cover. Go Google the Franco Rogen Vogue.
Right, right.
Oh, so excellent.
Oh, boy. All right. We have a contest this week?
We do, and it's for a film we very highly reviewed.
Oh.
It's a documentary called Let the Fire Burn.
Yes.
I get 1980s, and I didn't know this story. 1980s in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. there was this radical urban group, in quotes, called MOVE.
Okay.
And the local authorities, like, dropped military-grade explosives on their house.
What?
And it ended up like 11 people dying and 61 homes burning down.
Holy shit.
It bombed where they were and like everything, the whole neighborhood caught fire.
Wow.
So yeah, I didn't know this story. I don't remember.
Neither do I.
I wasn't watching the news that much in like 1985. Maybe. Anyhow, it's a documentary about this. It's all kinds of news footage and stuff about it. And yeah, we gave it a, no pun intended, glowing review.
Well, good.
On the site. So, yeah, it's from Zeitgeist Films, so you can win a DVD copy of that.
Very nice. All right. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, for listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and checking out the news at DailyVerdict.com. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Goodbye. And it starts to snow in the streets of Mexico. Goodbye.